Well, look at that, guys. It's another episode of Comedy Film Nerds. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini, just making some extra notes.
Oh,
I'm
got,
ready.
He
I'm
got
ready
his
to go.
Pen out.
Yeah.
During the theme song, yeah, Chris
no,
was
I'm,
like...
I'm ready to go. We got a lot of movies to talk about.
You're fired up. Yeah, what are they, Chris? What are we going to talk about?
We're going to talk about Alien, : Covenant, Snatched, Mifune, The Last Samurai, and we are excited. Our Patreon...
Mifune.
No, Mifune.
I'm so happy you're the one who mispronounced the name.
Yeah.
And not me. It's so exciting. It's such a rare moment. I'm usually the one butchering names.
Gotta go see it with a Mifune coupon.
Yeah. Mifune coupon. Last Samurai. Yeah. And he was a
pronounce his first name, Graham? Tashikido?
Sure, buddy. However you do it. That, by the way, was the that was our producer, Aron Brungert, working the ones and twos over there. There goes Brent in the social media, man. He's got to quickly take the social media and put it into a carrier pigeon and get it out there to the world.
Yep. And just give it wings.
Give it wings, guys. The social media is going to change the world.
So we are very excited. The Patreon is at $900.
Oh, shit. We're so close to getting to the 1,000, which will get us 2 spoiler eps a month.
Yes, we're so close. We're so close. Get us to the 1,000, and we want to thank each and every one of you who have already supported the Patreon. We're almost at that first goal.
If we hit the first goal quickly, we could do an Alien Covenant spoiler rep, which I would love to do.
Yes, so let's make it happen.
Let's make it happen. Also, we're recording later today the Neil T. Weekly Monthly News wrap-up.
Live.
That's it. Recorded.
Yeah.
Pre-recorded live. That'll go up. That's part of the $10 tier. You get the bonus episode.
And it's a great episode, too. It's because we deliberately don't look at the news in advance, so Neil is schooling us on the film news. So you're getting our reactions to the craziness that's coming
up. To the madness that Neil finds, that only Neil can find.
Yes, he digs deep sometimes.
He goes into the Matrix and finds the business. Let's introduce our guest.
Let's do it.
First time guest, first time on the program. I did a Doug Loves Movies with her. Very funny. I hope I'm pronouncing her name correctly. Amy Miller? Did I say that?
Yes.
Mifune?
Thanks for practicing it.
Amy and Miller, very confusing names of multiple pronunciations. What have you been up to? What have you been doing?
Ooh, scooting around.
Scooting around.
Telling jokes in
on
various cities.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish. Oh, yeah, I should get like a nice hog. You know?
Yeah.
And like motorcycle to my gigs.
Sturgis is right around the corner.
I've been blowing it, taking planes. just been doing shows, festivals, you know, busy spring. I'm hardly ever in LA, which kind of sucks and then is cool sometimes, but I miss my swimming pool.
Yeah.
You know?
Swimming pools are nice.
Movie stars, fancy cars.
Yes. I love the
A lot of cocaine.
Yeah.
Right?
Blow and swimming pools and guns. And
isn't that what you guys do?
Yeah. Lamborghinis.
Yeah.
Well, that's the podcast lifestyle.
That's all. This podcast money. That's why we're trying. That's why we're trying to get $1,000 on Patreon, because we have all
that sweet podcast money. All the drugs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a lot to catch up on.
I have a diamond studded coke filled Lamborghini that I drive into a swimming pool and crash it and just buy a new one.
Well, yeah, they're disposable.
Yeah, Lamborghinis are disposable. They're dumb cars anyway. The doors open up all stupid. Yeah.
So let's talk about Alien Covenant now.
Sweet Christmas.
Okay, I want to say this. I was thinking of a way to present this, and I was thinking Alien Snark of the Covenant.
So, I like it.
But I was thinking about this movie, and I realized the main problem I had with this movie is that I went in with far too high expectations. I really wanted this to be like a resurgence of the franchise.
You still do that?
I'd still do that. I really do. And oftentimes I'm fooled. But it was just one of those hopeful things, because I had just also recently rewatched Alien and Aliens 2 with our daughter, just introducing her to the franchise, and she loved the film. So I was also extra familiar with the quality of the first two movies before seeing this next one. Now, the one positive thing I will have to say about this movie, it was way better than Prometheus. I found Prometheus
to be... Oh, yeah, okay, sure. Getting kicked in the nuts is a little bit better than having my face set on fire.
So this movie, it was by far a mixed bag. There were some things I liked in this movie. I thought there were some interesting things like, you know, if you're going to have like the colony in distress, peril kind of thing, just waiting to see who's going to die, you have to add some mythology and to it. And this movie tried to do that. It tried to add this mythology with the engineers and did they create humanity and why did they create humanity and why did they create then this basically this bioweapon to destroy it or destroy any other species. Like, there's a lot of mythology that gets set up and never pays off. And then there's also a lot of character development traits that are set up that never pay off. Like, for instance, the original captain dies. This is in the beginning of the movie, not a spoiler. He never gets out of his cryogenic sleep. So the second in command becomes the captain. And
are these the cryo chambers that are hanging on the string so that when the ship gets into the hits the whatever the space tidal wave, the fucking cryo things are clanging around like hangers? Those ones? Is that what you're talking about?
No, the crew was in a different part of the ship. They weren't hanging. They were
but the colony that the is the whole point of the ship.
Yeah, they're on hangers.
They're on hangers.
They're hanging out.
And they get a little bit of turbulence and they start banging around.
They're like doors in Monsters, Inc.
Right.
When they go.
So, really great planning.
It's you know, a dry cleaners. Then the racks just come down and you get your tether them.
Sure. Always keep your humans like dry cleaning when you're flying 8 years in hyperwarp.
So
anyway,
other,
you were saying, Chris.
Yeah. So the other thing which was odd is like if you're going to set up character traits, something has to be done with them. Like the second in command is like, well, everyone was nervous of having a man of faith in charge. Okay. So now we're saying that he has very strong beliefs in God and heaven and hell and all of those things. And in my head, I'm thinking, oh, I wonder how that's going to play out later in the movie. The answer is never.
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 It never comes up again?
It just never comes up again, except one ironic line, like when he actually says, ye of little faith, like later in the movie.
Oh, he knows one line.
Yeah.
From the Bible.
Yeah.
He just makes him he's the lone spiritual guy because he just knows
so he's
that
the man,
one.
Yeah, that's the man of faith.
That is.
So this movie, I'll tell you, it had some cool scares. It had some cool alien designs. It had some cool parts to it, some, you know, a bit of mad scientist-y stuff. There were some cool things that happened with the androids. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it never really came together in a satisfying way. And, you know, we're looking like we're setting up for maybe one or two more of these movies, prequels. But I will say it was better than Prometheus for sure. I did like it a little. I did like it more, but I wanted more. I think this is the kind of movie, if you lower your expectations,
you'll still hate it.
I think you will enjoy it. I think you will enjoy it a little bit more.
You think you would have if you had gone in expecting nothing?
I think if I would have gone in expecting like another Prometheus, like, oh God, then I would have been pleasantly surprised, I think. So I'm right in the middle with this movie. I was
but Graham sold me.
Yeah.
It's awful. It's the worst. First of all, I said on the show,
Graham had a different opinion.
I hated Prometheus. The thing about Prometheus that drove me nuts was the crew in Prometheus was unprepared. Again, Prometheus had a similar thing of like, it's this 10-year mission, like we're flying all across the galaxy, people in cryo sleep, and then we're just gonna get like a crew off Craigslist, and then just like, so the version of this one was, okay, so we're recolonizing.
Just roll by Home Depot.
Pick up some guys, hop in the spaceship. You good with cryo freeze?
The big difference with this one is there were couples.
They were couples.
Yeah. Mm.
So this is the setup of this film. They're woken up. They have 7 more years of cryo sleep, right? So there's an android maintaining everything with a Siri-type robot that he can...
Walter. They named the androids after the producers
My Siri came on my phone when I said that.
David Giler and Walter Hill.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Great shout out. Mm-hmm. So they talk about... We're going to this colony. This planet we vetted this planet for 10 years, right? Mm-hmm. So the crew, I get it's couples, right? It's Noah's Ark. We need to help colonize. So are we going to get like couples that are highly trained, that are scientists, that have military backgrounds. No, we're just going to have like a fucking couples camping retreat. And the minute there's a problem, they all start arguing with each other like a bunch of goddamn dipshits on a reality show.
What I think Graham is trying to say, and I agree with this, the roles of the crew were not very well defined.
So. Is this movie a comedy?
Yeah.
It should be.
Well, Danny McBride was in it.
Why?
Why? Yeah, I'll tell you, the casting was very off in a few places. And Danny McBride was one of the things that stood out. So I find him really funny and interesting. Doesn't belong in an Aliens
movie.
I mean, I didn't believe him for 1 second. And then I hope no one's expecting to see James Franco more in this movie, because he's literally in the trailer and the little teaser trailer that was up on YouTube of like the scene that happens before the actual movie is supposed to happen. That's like a character development scene that the movie could have used. so it was just a very weird and odd casting choice.
Well, the thing about Danny McBride, okay, Danny McBride does his one thing. He does Danny McBride.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
That's fine. And
so
in the,
far,
and,
yes.
Yeah, that's, and can he do more? Maybe. I don't know. When it's in the right film,
he's hilarious.
Funny. He's funny.
Yeah.
But this is like, why are we having this, yee-hoo, Tennessee. His character's name is Tennessee. Yeah. Shut up.
And he brought his hat.
And he brought his dumb hat. I'm, like, we're colonizing a planet that we've never set foot on. There's two.
So you're going to need a cowboy.
We never need Tennessee, man. Give a little sass when he's out
sense.
There fixing the fucking solar panels. Like, it was the dumbest thing. Billy Crudup, as Chris said, so the captain dies immediately. So Billy Crudup is now the new captain. And they introduce this other dumb thing. Oh, the crew doesn't respect me. And he does these other dumb things. Of like,
well, yeah, I can see why they don't respect you.
Yeah, you're an idiot. He does these other, like, the crew's like, hey, we need to honor.
How did you get to second in command?
In command? Everyone hates you? Like, who put this team together? And they, there's a series on the NASA channel where they're doing a simulation of what it would be like going to Mars and what they got to deal with. And it's written by scientists. And it's such an interesting thing because there's no, like, oh, these two people don't get along, because they vetted it. They like, you're
going
to have to spend years in space together. You're going to go through thousands of hours of personality tests instead of just like, hey, Tennessee, you get with a joystick? Get yourself on here. We're going to fly across the galaxy.
You're saying you wouldn't bring some comic relief onto that ship?
Oh, God.
Graham?
No, I wouldn't. Comics waving pain in the ass sometimes. I would not bring them on a ship.
And really, how helpful would they be on a mission?
They'd be fucking just sitting there being snarky. Like, oh, we need to solve this problem so we don't die. Oh, yeah, who designed that? Fucknut. Get back in cryo sleep.
Why is it called the Covenant? Does that have something to do with
that was
religion?
The name of the ship. And that was it was definitely not a covenant with the filmmakers in the audience.
Okay.
For sure.
That was the ship. And then
I really think too, like, the original vision of this had more to do with religion, like heaven, hell, and a man of faith. Like, I felt
and God.
And God
the opening scene is all about God.
God and creation and all those things, and like, none of it went anywhere or paid off. Like, everything was like touched upon, but nothing went deeper. And one of the problems with it, I think, is sequelitis. Like, well, oh no, we'll save that for the next movie. It really felt like there were things being held back or left back because, like, well, no, we've got to make at least one or two more movies
out
of this.
And then no one wants to go because it wasn't satisfying to
watch
the first installment.
You know, make this more interesting and satisfying.
Making it a Prometheus sequel was like a giant, I was like, oh God.
Now, I will say this, though. It was and this is, again, a backhanded compliment. It was way more coherent than Prometheus. Like, Prometheus put all these dangling threads and, like, logic issues and problems all throughout the entire film. This one just had a couple big ones, but it wasn't like every scene in Prometheus, you were like, what's happening? Why would you do that? Why are you going to touch the alien worm and take your spacesuit off?
And just none of it makes sense. They decide to go down to this planet, right, to investigate. If you've had all of that training,
it's a direct sequel to Prometheus.
It's a direct sequel to Prometheus. Isn't a huge thing with space of like, we don't know what we could find on this planet we have not investigated. There could be a virus, pathogens, anything.
Right. You'd be in a spacesuit.
They're just walking down there, bumming around like they're on an episode of Survivor.
It didn't work well.
And then the minute things go bad, they kind of mention, like, safety protocols. Like, there's
quarantine protocols.
They don't they just lose their shit. Like, literally, yeah. Untrained campers. Like, it's right. The dumbest.
Like, and one of the things, too, is I was thinking as I watched, like, these older movies, like Alien and Aliens.
The tension in them?
Not only the tension, but also the logic of them made a lot more sense. Like, they were talking about protocols and quarantine and, you know, there was a conspiracy of like, well, wait, why is the robot acting the way it is? Because it's trying to get the alien pathogen back for the company mm-hmm. in the original movie. So everything logic-wise made sense, where this casts like a bigger net on bigger ideas. But the problem with that is when you do that is you have to rein it in at some point and give something concrete and tangible for the audience to grab onto. And this was just so many just kind of big ethereal ideas that just didn't pay off or go anywhere in the midst of all this kind of alien carnage. So I really felt like the intention of this movie didn't match the result. Like, I really felt like this is what we're trying to do. Like, sometimes you could see when a film misses the mark, the intention. And the intention was there, but the film just was not.
Yeah, there's thousands of mistakes that are made. And again, you go back to the first two. The first one was just one alien. There was all this tension, and they were minors and all. And then the second one was a little more action-driven, but it's still both of them had these, you know, corporate greed and all that stuff. And this one is trying to talk about it. Introduces
and Marines trying to figure out the situation.
Right.
Yeah.
And all this stuff. And then, the opening scene, they're trying to, like, I'm trying to figure out God and all this stuff. And we're tying it to the Prometheus. And I was just like, oh, man. It made so many mistakes on so many levels. I was so pissed off. And it had nothing to do with the trailer.
That first scene was a, you look at it, was a very sterile environment with a discussion about deities and God and creation. Again, now for me, that was like a great setup to see something that we're going to go into and explore. But it just never got there. Like, I feel like this movie was 90% setup with, and then, you know, the rest of it was just alien carnage.
There's no payoff. And then the two Fassbender robots dueling each other is just like,
that was a good robot fight, though. I will say it was a good robot fight.
Right, but again, it had zero payoff to the initial thing the movie starts on.
Right,
is setting up all of these bigger issues, and I'm trying to find God and whatever, and that, you know, the AI realizing they're better than humans and all, and that whole issue. Okay, fine, but all they did was introduce one thing after another that could have been cool, that could have been interesting,
right.
That had then zero payoff. And you're left with some okay action scenes. And again, the technology to show these aliens, and they're scurrying around and everybody's shooting up, and, you know,
for sure.
Fine.
There's practical effects, but there was a lot of computer generated
waste
effects
of time and money. I was so mad I did this.
Well, at least you're over it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, well, I still got to talk about it.
Yeah. Now, the Alien sequels do not have a great track record, too. I mean, when you look at, you know, Aliens 3, 4, and Prometheus, you know, this, again, a backhanded compliment, this was better than all of those three. You know, I would put this is as the third best Alien movie.
Mm.
But the problem is they're just so, you know, up and down.
Either make an Alien v Predator, just make a fight, just action thing, or do this correctly.
I think everyone is waiting for a good Alien versus Predator movie. I mean, it's been in the comics for years. There's so many Aliens versus Predator stories, and we can't get a good Aliens versus Predator movie. We've had two, and I challenge you to tell me the plot of either one of them.
Really fun
one had a pyramid in it.
Keep them at video games. Just make
love the arcade game.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Picking up those pizzas and salads,
there
you know?
You, you don't need a plot there, do you? You don't need a comic relief. You just need to get some points and take some shit out.
Yeah.
So now, Amy, we'll get off the Alien Covenant bandwagon for now.
Oh, thank God. I don't know if you were on the bandwagon.
So, well, bandwagon's not really bandwagon. Yeah, bandwagon was the wrong term. Just wagon. Let's get off the
wagon.
Yeah. Let's talk about Snatched. You saw this film.
I saw it this weekend, yes. I treated myself.
Mm-hmm.
I was up in Portland for gigs, and I went, have you ever been to the Living Room theaters there?
Yeah.
I mean, Portland has a million, like, drink a beer and sit on a couch and watch movie theaters, which is great. I went, like, in the afternoon and had a nice Caesar salad.
With a beer?
Chardonnay, actually.
For you.
I mean, I'm the demographic for this movie for sure. I came in here wearing a fanny pack. Like, yes, you know I had a Chardonnay. You know I did.
This is Goldie Hawn's first film since The Banger Sisters.
Yeah, which is like 15 years or something.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that's the main reason I saw it. I love Goldie. I also have to, like, follow Amy's career, I guess. For as much as she gets brought up to me. Did you know there can only be like one female comic on top at any given time? And if she has your name, people need to bring it up a lot. I don't know. but I also like her. And
it's better than being told you look like Adam Carolla. You know what I'm saying? That's offensive.
That is offensive.
It really is.
And you don't.
Thank you.
No, Adam Carolla looks like you. That's how people should be phrasing it.
He's a less attractive, less funny Graham Elwood.
Yes.
Yeah, Goldie's comeback. There's a lot of funny people in it. Christopher Maloney's in it, who's like, I think, the funniest part of anything he ever does, except for SVU. That's not a funny. That's not for laughing. That show's for serious. And Wanda Sykes is in it. Joan Cusack's in it.
Oh, wow. She's
playing
hilarious.
Playing Wanda's partner, which is hilarious. Mm-hmm.
Now, they get kidnapped, right, on a vacation?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're in Ecuador, and they get kidnapped, and then it's like them fighting their way out and accidentally
killing. Is it like Russell Crowe in Proof of Life?
I haven't seen that. Do you have a different reference?
Aaron is, Aaron is shaking his head no.
It's just Proof of Life is such a garbage movie.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this, because this is always the when done correctly is great, but can be the problem in the comedy film is, you know, the through line to just get us from one joke set piece to the next.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes it's, well, like Bridesmaid, whatever. They're getting married. That's the theme. But it's really just about all these jokes and all these set pieces. Did that work? Did the, like, we're abducted, we got to get out work with regard to this?
I think so. I think the through line is more their relationship, of course. I mean, you have to have, like, a message about how you, you know, should respect your mom or listen to her or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I mean, they set up this story about how Amy Schumer's character is, like, worthless and lazy, basically. And so it's, like, them working together to get out of that situation. And then she's like, oh, you're not – you can work hard at something. It's not, like, a great movie, but I also – it's conditional, you know? It's, like, a good afternoon movie for the situation that I was in. If I'd gone on opening night, I might be disappointed. But
it's an afternoon Chardonnay movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
And then, yeah, there's just all these little surprises. Like, Christopher Maloney, he's not in it long, but he's so funny. So, so funny. And Goldie's great. Like, she's one of my favorites.
That's the thing I liked when I saw the trailer. I was like, oh, cool, Goldie Hawn. And then hearing that the studio didn't want Goldie Hawn, but Amy Schumer fought to keep her in there and said she'd leave if which is, like, awesome. Give Goldie Hawn work.
And that's awful.
Yeah.
That they had to do that. I mean, it's Goldie Hawn.
I know.
Come on.
Shows you the horrible
Overboard.
Studios.
Yeah, Overboard.
For God's sake.
One of the greatest comedies ever.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah, it's interesting, too, because before the movie, I don't know if this is happening on other movies, but I noticed you guys have the budget up here and stuff. Have you been seeing, they did this, like commercial before the movie to just say, like, thank you for coming to the movies. Isn't going to the movies great? Like, they're just, like, treading water. Like, please keep spending money at the movies. It was a really weird, like, the more you know situation. Like, it can never compare to, you know, watching TV at home is never the same as going to the theater and just, like, trying to sell people on, like, coming back. It was so bizarre. But it's Amy and Goldie. And then you're like, we're about to watch a movie with you in it. Like, shouldn't they get
the
other
commercial.
Actors for the... Yeah, and it's directly before the opening credits.
Oh,
like,
weird.
They're literally like, thank you so much for being here.
Wow.
Yeah.
So like, was that a cool thing, or was it sort of, how did it feel to you?
Like, what?
Was off-putting, yeah, because at first they pop up and you're like, is this part of the movie? Like, is this like
I wonder if Optimus Prime will do that for the Transformers movie.
Like, I thought it was some sort of prologue, but then they're like, I'm Amy and I'm Goldie, and you're like, what? And they're just like, thanks for coming to the movies. We want to keep our jobs.
Must be some kind of weird test program of like,
yeah,
will this make people come back more if we have the stars ask them to come back?
Well, I think it's, I mean, what is really going on is people, they're having a hard time getting people into the theater. So that's why you have all of these luxury recliners and order cocktails,
right, right.
And
yeah,
have a waiter bring you food. Like, they're trying to do everything they can. The IMAX, the seats that move.
Yeah,
you know, like
even everything for just assigned seating too makes a big difference. Mm-hmm.
But none of the plan is like make things a little cheaper or pay people a little bit less. Well, I mean, women—they pay women actors less all the time. But you know, just like, can they just like rein in these budgets like a little bit? It's not like a viable business model if people aren't coming to see it anymore. It's really strange.
Well, you get in. I mean, so this has a $42 million budget, which isn't—that's not too crazy
cheap movie. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, sometimes too, a theatrical release for a movie like this is designed specifically to raise awareness for when it's on demand and mm-hmm. on DVD. So where they plan to make most of their money back.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, there's all these, we've talked about it a lot on this show, the $150 and $200 million budgets, you know, they paint themselves into such a corner where if those don't do crazy numbers that's got to be hurting the business. They've made jokes about this. Aaron?
Also, you said it takes place in Ecuador, but they shot the entire thing in Hawaii. Wouldn't it have been cheaper to shoot it in Ecuador?
Well, yeah. That's a good question, but actually Hawaii has, you know, tax breaks.
Credits.
Certainly,
and
yeah.
They've done some of the Pirates movies there. There's a lot of production there that Hawaii, from what I understand, is actually getting a little cheaper. But because the Ecuador,
just
you might
not
have
to live there.
Just not to live there, no. But it was interesting because the director is the same person who did 50-50, which I liked.
Warm Bodies, the zombie movie.
So overall, though, Amy, you like Snatch. You were
mediocre on it.
I was entertained for the situation I was in.
Okay.
You know? Mm-hmm. I like to go and...
Your expectations were right where they needed to be?
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. I keep them pretty low for most movies, though.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So then I just have a delightful time. I'm like an idiot, you know? Like, just, this is probably going to be terrible. Oh, it was okay. Then I'm like so happy. But there's really funny people in it, and it was good to see Goldie come back. And like, yeah, I try to go out and support. Like, not that they really need my money. I mean, does Schumer need any more money? I don't know.
Goldie Hawn might.
But you know, I try to go see movies
The way the studios seem to be blackballing her from movies.
Yeah, it's strange.
What, did she commit the awful crime of getting older? Is that the crime that she committed from the studios?
I think she got older, but she chose to take this time off, I think, because she's like helping raise her grandkids and stuff. And I don't know, but she also has a little bit of a reputation for being like outspoken. Difficult. They call it difficult if you're a girl. With directors and with studios and stuff. So I don't know what specifically she was blackballed for, but she's just always been
though. Edward Norton has gotten the D word thrown at him.
Yeah,
Dustin Hoffman had that thrown at him in the late 70s, early 80s.
To be fair, Edward Norton, that's come up on numerous occasions for him specifically.
Yeah, you wonder. I mean, is it? But sometimes, though, in some of these cases, it's an artist, what they'll lump in two things incorrectly. They like, my bottled water is in the right temperature and I'm going to throw a fit on stage.
Right.
They put that in the same category as somebody who like artistically is like, no, I think this character needs to be doing this and we need to do it that way, which to me is they're two separate things.
Totally.
It's like
right.
Having artistic integrity and wanting this the overall film to be well is different than I'm the celebrity, I want this, you know.
Or fighting for fair pay, which is a big, I guess, because they were going to make, I just read this today, they were going to make a First Wives Club sequel, Second Wives Club or something, they all bowed out, and I think Goldie was sort of leading that charge because the pay was like so insulting.
Wow.
That they were like, yep, just because we're old ladies. Like, we've been in this industry for this long. We know, like, what might be a reasonable check for this movie.
Right.
And
this wasn't
for one,
it.
I'm, yeah. I'm pretty bummed about not getting a First Wives Club sequel.
Well, that...
Me and my fanny pack are very upset.
And that's the kind of thing, though. The studio will then put out the, oh, she's difficult. It's like, fighting for fair wages is not,
yeah,
is not being difficult.
I think it's really rad, too, because it's like, I mean, she's still rich, of course, by all accounts. She has money. She's married to another celebrity. But for that, for her to just be like, I don't need to just, like, stack up money to do stuff that I don't want to do. Like, I'll just be at home with the grandkids.
Good for her.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
All and right. was refreshing to see a lady just aging on screen,
right.
you know?
Right.
Which is, like, a normal old lady face and chest. Like, yeah. she, because she.
Judi Dench can't do it alone.
Yeah. She for sure has the chest of, like, that I will have probably pretty soon of just, like, I've been baking in the LA sun for decades. Like, and I loved it because I was just like, oh, like, she looks like one of my aunts, you know,
right.
From the Central Valley. Like, she's just like, I think, I mean, it's beautiful to me, but it's weird that it's that strange. But if in real life you saw fucking, who has a ton of plastic surgery? I mean, Nicole Kidman or whatever, you'd be like, ugh. You know?
No, it's nice to see Hollywood or actually it's more Amy Schumer pushing this to have, like, this is what a mom would look like. This
yeah.
is what my mom,
right.
this is what, if you're in your late 30s or 40s, this is what your mom in her 60s or 70s is
yeah.
going to look like.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. Schumer's, like, out in her bikini and stuff with, like, you know, she's, like, not heavy by any means, but you're like, oh, there's a little roll. That's weird. I've never seen that on
Can't do
in a
that
movie.
Normally, and
yeah.
the fact that she is just like, yeah, I have just have a regular body type.
Yeah, it's rad.
That's cool.
Yep. It's like you have to be a comedian for them to allow that.
Yes, you got to have something else going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, all right, so let's talk about the movie, the documentary you saw, Graham.
So I saw the Mifune documentary, The Last Samurai.
Colin, The Last Samurai.
Yeah. So this is about Toshirô Mifune, who was in all of those Kurosawa movies. And it's a really good doc. There's the one thing, and it doesn't get in the way, but it is Keanu Reeves does the voiceover, just like,
oh my God.
He's
That's
not
so
a
really? Distracting.
It's like, but he's not, it's hard to, I saw it in the credits and I was listening. I was like, wow, that doesn't really sound like him, which is a good thing, because if he was right. just like, another movie that
I was in 47 Ronin, I can do this.
He shouldn't be there, knowing how bad.
I fought a monster.
No, that doesn't make you a samurai. Okay, Keanu, you don't get to be one just because you say, I want to be a samurai. I'm in Hollywood. So that was the one thing that was like, whose idea was that? Bad idea. But it doesn't get in the way. And they do the.
See, for me, it's already gotten in the way.
Well, the director, Stephen Okazaki, is a 7-feature film, right? So he's done the Light and Black Rain, The Destruction of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, did that in 07. And he's done a bunch of other Living on Tokyo Time. So he does a good job of, he gets great archival footage and stills to show the history of where, and it's stuff about Mifune I didn't know. He was fought in World War II. He was in the Japanese.
A lot of stills and B-roll?
A lot of stills and B-roll, but then you also have really cool interviews with, he gets Mifune's son. He gets Kurosawa's son. Mm-hmm. He gets the woman that was like the script supervisor on a bunch of Kurosawa movies. You get a bunch of these Japanese women who were, you know, young actresses in the 50s who are now talking about what it was like to work with Kurosawa and... You get a lot of great backstory of...
Was one of them Goldie Hawn?
No. Yeah, remember that scene in Yojimbo where Goldie Hawn comes out and goes, Saka to me! Yeah. Right? That was great. Hilarious. But you learn cool stuff as, like, Kurosawa did propaganda for the Japanese military during World War II. And when the war ended, that's why he was so like, no. He felt ashamed about that and was like, uh-uh. These movies are my way. That's why he was so like, I'm doing my movies my way. You are not going to. And that's why you had a lot of themes of power and corruption in many of his films. Also, I didn't know this. Seven Samurai was the first movie post-war Japan where they were allowed to use swords because the United States would not let Japanese movies would not let them make movies about people using swords or have swords on the set.
What?
Really?
Yep, because they were like, you know, we're you guys helped start a war and you were a crazy empire that tried to take over everything, so we're going to stop
that. We're going to limit your sword.
We're going to limit your sword play. So the all
you
of the movies.
You can use this baguette. Yeah. Nothing else.
So a lot of baguette fight scenes. So I never knew that. So they showed the movies that Kurosawa and Mifune made together prior to that one that were, one was about, I forget the name of it, I'm blanking on it, but it was about corporate corruption in Tokyo. And fantastic. And Mifune became, he had no, I didn't want to be an actor, became a movie star. So then there's also really cool black and white photos of like Mifune, the movie star with the slick back hair and the convertible from like, you know, like the way movie stars right. were portrayed back then, which was really cool.
Those were the glamour shots.
The glamour shots and him and a lot of cool behind the scenes of like, you know, he's in flip-flops and a cigarette with a Coca-Cola while in his samurai outfit, you know, between takes or whatever, and playing cards. And you learned a lot of really, really cool stuff. If you, it's an interesting doc for anybody, but it, obviously, if you like Kurosawa film or old samurai movies, you have to see this documentary.
Was it on a streaming service?
It was on a streaming service that does not pay us to say their name. So, okay. Yes.
I'll definitely check it
out. I would check it out. It's a good, and it's like 82 minutes or something. Right.
That's one of my favorites too, Seven Samurai. I'll tell you, you know what, one that was underrated, I think, even though it was nominated, I think, for an Academy Award that I absolutely love was Twilight Samurai.
Oh, that's a great.
It's a great film.
Yeah, that came out in 2003. I think it was the guy from The Last Samurai, the Tom Cruise movie, was in it. I forget that actor's name. But
Ken Watanabe?
No. The other guy, Ken Watanabe's like second in command in Last Samurai. He's the star of Twilight Samurai, which is another really good film. But yeah, this is a really cool doc. And it goes into, there's so much history in terms of how Tokyo was rebuilding after the war and how that influenced the film industry. And Toho Studios, there's a lot of history about Toho Studios because that's who Kurosawa worked for. So it was cool.
All right. Yeah.
And if you can see White Light, Black Rain by the same director, that's an amazing documentary about Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Yeah.
Change
your opinion on World War II and how it ended.
Yeah. These are not all documentaries that he made.
No, some of them are.
Okay.
Are
but
features.
That one, didn't that one get a nomination? I forget. White Light, Black Rain.
Yeah, I can look it up, but that was a while ago, so who knows.
Yeah.
But it's amazing. It's really, if you don't cry at the end of it, or during it, you're a monster.
Ooh, now I feel tested.
Now it's a challenge.
All right.
I cry at the beginning.
Circling that film.
Yep. Speaking of crying, we have some sponsors this
great
this show.
Lead in, Chris.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are happy to have this episode brought to you by Harry's Razors. Now, Father's Day is coming up. This is an important thing. Why not get that dad in your life a little Harry's Razors kit? You know, we're going to give you a coupon for $5 off.
If you don't have your father polish up his man face, then you should start crying because you are a poor child.
Yes. And you're dead inside.
There's other areas he could trim up, too.
Sure, whatever your dad's into. I'm not judging how your dad lives his life and his off time.
Your dad or your daddy, you know?
Maybe your daddy needs to clean up some stuff.
So now you're still using Harry's razors.
I still am using Harry's razors. And I was in a little bit of a hurry today to get here.
But you didn't cut yourself.
I didn't shave, and I was mad I didn't shave this morning, and my beard's all scraggly, and I'm like, I need to get in there and polish it up. I went surfing Sunday, and there is nothing like after a day at the beach of taking a shower and a shave. I shave in the shower, and I use my Harry's razor. My girlfriend's like, oh, man, your face is so sweet.
The gel, everything. Yeah,
the whole thing.
Yeah, use the four-star treatment on your man face,
I get my polish up my man face like fine china. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what's great is, you know, you get all these things in the kits. You know, the Father's Day, limited edition Father's Day shave set comes with a storm gray razor handle, chrome razor stand, foaming shave gel, three replacement blades, and a travel cover.
I highly recommend. And of course, they're five German crafted blades, flex hinge, lubricating strip.
And a giftable box with the option to add custom engraving and a personalized card for free.
Just go to harrysrazor.com/comedyfilmnerds. You don't need a coupon code. Just harrysrazor.com/comedyfilmnerds. You get $5 off.
Yep, of the shade sets. This is a limited time offer, so act now.
Yeah.
So, and we have another ad read to do.
This episode
is also brought to you by LA Podfest. How about that?
The good people at the Los Angeles Podcast Festival.
Boy, we're going to get screwed on this ad.
Yeah, that check's going to bounce. But, guys, October 6th through the 8th, we've just added more shows.
I'll tell you, Graham, we've been doing the festival for a while, and this is honestly our biggest and best year ever, for sure. We've got some amazing shows. The podcast pros aspect of it has expanded. We're going to have, instead of having six for the weekend, we're going to have close to 18 panels and live podcasts just alone, just for podcast pros, and it's included in your admission.
Well, that's the thing we decided. Last year we had a lot of like podcast professionals, not necessarily comedians or entertainers, but people that work for podcast companies or they're doing business related podcasting or they're in that industry in some capacity, and they came for the panels, not for the shows necessarily. And they were like, I wish you guys would have more of these. So we were
we would have stayed all day if you had more panels.
So we decided we're going to just make that a whole its own thing. It'll still be in your weekend pass can get into any of this.
You could go to a show, a panel, you could go back and forth. That's what we wanted, to make it just all one thing. It's not going to be a separate admission. You know, one ticket gets you into the shows, the panels, and the lab, and the podcast lab.
And we're really record. The reason we want to expand the podcast pros is we want to make it more for, like, give professionals, or even just, I'm new to podcasting, or I've been listening to podcasts for years, and
I want to start my own. I want to learn about it. How do I start it? So we're theming the days too. Like Friday is getting started in podcasting. One of them is monetization. So you'll be able to adjust your schedule depending on what interests you the most.
And there's going to be like a lawyer from from Nixon Peabody, and like talking about the business end of this and how it's such a new area. We've dealt with this in terms of contracts with all of this new media.
Yep, everything's new.
It's really weird. Like, are you doing a scripted podcast that could potentially be put into an episodic series or a movie? Like, we're going to have people telling you how you go about that from a legal and a contractual standpoint.
Yes.
So it's really cool, guys. So go to lapodfest.com.
And we've got shows that have never been in the festival before, like Bill Burr's Monday Morning Podcast.
Yeah, Bill Burr, Lori Kilmartin, and
Jackie Cation's
pod. Jackie's been in before, but Lori and Jackie's
pod. Lori and Jackie's show is new.
Never been in. So Lori Kilmartin's never been in the festival.
We
Hate Movies. My Favorite Murder is coming back.
Yes.
Bill Burr, I said, and Bert Kreischer is going to be in there.
First time for him.
Bobby Lee. He's never been.
Tiger Belly.
They've never been in the festival before. So it's a fantastic thing. If you haven't done it, check it out. New hotel, a lot of history.
Yes.
More space. Yep. Biltmore Hotel. LAPodFest.com.
Check it out.
October 6th through the 8th.
And also, we have our Patreon ad read, Mike Valdez, who is MikeValdez.com. Check out his work, everything from comedy to music.
Yeah, listen to his music, guys, MikeValdez.com.
All right, let's talk about some trailers. We saw the latest Transformers, The Last Night. I'll tell you, every trailer just looks like you're on the ride at Universal. That's really what it feels like. This would be great for 2 minutes if I was on a ride. And now I'm already, this is enough. I get it. It's an effects reel.
And it was long. It's a long trailer.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of stuff clanking around.
It's a lot of stuff clanking around.
It is.
It's a lot of that.
I miss Mark Wahlberg going, I just found a Transformer. I missed that from one of the other movies in the trailer. Like, what I love is how serious these movies take themselves. Like, this is the last type of movie that should be taking itself seriously. It's giant robots from space who turn into cars and airplanes fighting. Stop taking it so seriously.
Yeah. Oh, and there's the off-brand Megan Fox.
Yes. It's like, get me somebody. Get me. somebody who looks exactly like Megan Fox.
Yeah.
But you know, we can afford whoever we want. I don't care. I want to piss off the real Megan Fox. Yeah. I can see
and
that.
And Haley Steinfeld, a little yeah. who, yeah, a little girl's in it who looks like her but isn't.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe it's not even Mark Wahlberg. Did you guys think about that?
You know,
maybe
it could
it's Donnie. It's
Donnie with a wig.
Could be Dan Van Kirk. We don't know.
Yeah, be,
that would be awesome.
Be,
yeah. I would love it if it was Dan Van Kirk.
So this is the movie that's, again, these movies are reviewer proof. Nothing we're going to say is going to change your mind one way or the other. If you're going to go see it, you're going to go see it. If you're going to skip it, you're going to skip it. But I'll tell you, if we get to that $1,000 tier.
No.
No, we might do a spoiler on
no,
it.
No, we're not. You got to go kick in more money on the bigger tiers yeah. for me to go see this movie and do a spoiler event. Spoiler
How many
event.
Movies has Michael Bay made now?
As far as Transformers goes, this has got to
no,
be like
total,
the fifth one.
Total number
oh,
of total.
Horrifying.
You have a ballpark guess.
We only count The Rock, then after that.
The Rock is so good.
Yeah.
Strangely, I've seen that. I saw that movie in the theater more times than any other film, and I don't really know why.
That's fantastic.
You've got
20?
It's like 22.
God, it feels 20. Like more than 22.
It does.
It feels like 200.
Yes,
yeah, it does. That trailer alone felt like 200.
Yeah, it makes me feel really tired. Yeah.
Yeah, if you just want some escapist fun, guys, go watch Snatched and have a Chardonnay and a salad and enjoy it.
Or read a book.
Read a
do,
book.
Just do anything.
Go to the museums.
Yeah.
Go to a library.
Watch a nice episode of Seinfeld and Syndication. You know, they're still funny.
I've been watching 30 Rock. Those have been fun. And then what's the other?
The next trailer we saw was The Glass Castle. Now, this really looked like Woody Harrelson's Captain Fantastic, where, like we were talking about, is this like a new genre now, family dropout movies, where it's like we're not going to let our kids go to school. We're just going to raise them in the woods on our own, and then they're going to grow up to hate us.
It felt like a mashup between Captain Fantastic and Room.
It really did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of dad-daughter movies out in the last 5 years, I feel like. But
what's that? Why?
I don't know. I mean, we're also coming up on Father's Day. Maybe that's why they release it now.
That'd be hilarious if that was the marketing.
That's the marketing.
Like, this is what we
go
need
see
to
this with your dad,
Father's
a horrible
Day.
Dad that doesn't pay his
you
bills.
You live out in the woods and now
homeschools your daughter so she's
and now
a weirdo.
We live like hillbillies because of my dad's weird problem.
Yeah.
Because which we don't know really what that is yet,
no,
right?
We're going to find something
he doesn't
out.
Work and he's
a gambler.
On the run,
yeah, something.
But,
yeah. Or something is like, you keep losing jobs. I'm like, why do you keep losing jobs? And why do you're building a house, yet it seems like you don't know how to do it.
And then no one, like, I love how the distinction between the family, so Naomi Watts in every scene in the trailer has scraggly hair while Brie Larson, now adult from... is perfect hair. So that's this. So if you don't comb your hair, if you decide to not participate in society,
there's also a very dated, like the worst that they're doing supposedly is when she's like, my parents are squatting on the Lower East Side. And we both went, like, that's really nice now.
Yeah. Lower East Side's awesome.
Oh, they're really on the come up.
Oh, all right.
I mean,
public transportation. They got these that's good for them.
They started the renovations.
Oh, all right. Good for them.
They're gentrifiers by the end of the trailer.
They're shopping at Whole Foods.
Yeah, all worked out.
Oh, the new Bed Bath & Beyond on Lower East Side's great.
So now on DVD and Blu-ray, we have Logan. If you missed this in the movie theater, check it out.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic movie.
Yes.
It's a good movie, just not even just as a comic book movie. It's just a really good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Get Out is also a great movie. It's one of those horror movies that kind of transcends its genre, where it's like you don't have to be a horror fan to actually really enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really good and it's fun. It's a fun movie.
Yeah, it might be a buy it movie. I feel like you know,
just
I don't
to support
buy
it.
A lot of movies, but yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
I'd love to see some bonus features on that too.
And yes,
it's a really cool movie, and I wouldn't suspect that a TV sketch comedian could then jump to a completely different genre.
Right.
And make it scary, make it funny, have all this heavy social commentary on race relations in America. Like, this is a solid film.
It was a great transition.
Yeah, it was.
You know, sometimes it doesn't work, sometimes it does.
Yep.
You know, when you jump genres.
Speaking of jumping genres.
The Great Wall.
Matt Damon is fighting dragons in feudal China.
Yep, that's what the wall was for.
To keep out dragons. Yeah. No joke.
Now, I don't know if this movie had to make a lot of money in China. It tanked here, but it had to have made its money.
How
back
could they not mock this movie in China? Because it's a movie in China with a white dude as the lead.
But there it was a Chinese production that, you know, wanted Matt Damon to try to get more Westerners on board. Mm. It was like the opposite.
It's Zhang Zimu too.
It was like the opposite philosophy. It didn't work. Not a lot of people went to see it in this country.
That's a funny conflict too. That like. People in Hollywood here are being like, Get Out or Hidden Figures can make money. Like, people of color can have really successful films. And then China's like, we want Matt Damon to play an Asian person.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do you decide what the bigger priority is?
And it's always like that kind of explanation. Like, well, he's a mercenary, so he can be whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Great.
So,
as we said, buy Get Out.
Yeah.
Go rent Logan or buy Get Out.
The next movie is My Life is a Zucchini, and this was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Animated Film, and it was literally the one movie where you could not find anywhere. It wasn't even playing in like the one movie house in L.A. that plays all art films. So check it out. It's not actually about a zucchini. It's about a boy named... I think he's named Zucchini or something. I'm not sure. There's very little information on this movie. And I don't even think it's like, Aaron, how it's like a really short movie. It's like under 80 minutes, right?
Yeah.
So it's barely a feature.
Have you guys seen it?
I have not seen it yet.
No, we tried. It was during Oscar season. It got the nomination and couldn't
find it anywhere. Couldn't find it on demand, nowhere.
It looks interesting, but...
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I thought you guys might be getting screeners. But
yeah, 1 hour and 6 minutes.
Wouldn't that be great?
1 hour and 6 minutes. That's,
yeah, would
that's,
be great.
It would be great if we were getting screeners.
Maybe because you have so many spoilers on your show that the Academy's not throwing you any screeners.
So the minimum...
They don't give us screeners.
So the minimum length for an animated feature film must be 66 minutes, because that's what that movie is.
Yeah.
It might have a really long credit roll.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's got to be 60 minutes, and there's a 6-minute credits roll.
So you want to check out now on the site. Neil actually did enjoy Alien Covenant. We can bring that up with him when he comes in a little later.
Wow. All
right. You guys want to discuss that. the film news, there's a lot of crazy stuff there. I did read one of the articles, but I know Neil's going to have a lot of new information when he comes in roughly 10 minutes.
All right. So there's some fan feedback. I'm looking for it on Twitter. So we talked about... why we don't like BitTorrenting, because earbuds had landed there and we didn't like that.
It doesn't help us.
So
let's put it that way.
It doesn't help us, and we talk about
it. Doesn't help anyone.
So this guy, Jake, at Hawk Engineer, brought this up on Twitter, and this is a fair argument. Mm-hmm. He said, you know, to start, I love your show, and I look forward to every episode. I love CFM.
Yes.
Comedy film.
Where was the point of order?
Where's the point of order? And it's N, as in nerds. But he said, you made a passionate case against torrenting movies, even big budget successful ones. I don't disagree at all. Torrenting is a theft. Having said that, how is it different for paying for a movie ticket and then sneaking into others afterwards? I heard you talk about this on many occasions. I can't really see a moral distinction between it and torrenting. Again, I'm a big fan and will continue to love all the great content you do, but I felt like I needed to address this one.
It's a valid point.
It's a valid point,
yeah.
And we love the fact that you guys very respectfully disagree with us,
yes.
Or me. So here's my response to that, Jake. Mm-hmm. Fucking suck it. I'll do whatever the fuck I want, you crybaby dick.
Oh, you just ruined
it. No, that's not what I meant to say. No.
Stop punching me for some reason.
You know what you did, Amy. No, it's a valid point. And
I take a harder line about it. I agree. I think it's all bad. I don't think you... But go ahead.
I will say... And maybe I am just a flat-out hypocrite.
Right.
So... the times I do sneak, and I don't do it that often, it's usually like this. I'm in a multiplex, and I see this one movie, and I'm like, oh, I could just jump into that one. And usually it's like something dumb like The Great Wall. Like if I was on the road and had an afternoon to kill, and I went to go see whatever. I went to go see Snatch because I really wanted to see it. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, well, I could go watch 30, 40 minutes of The Great Wall. Or
are you talking about like Dean Haglund's like producer crawl where you watch a little bit of each, or you actually go and see a second film like all the way through?
Well, it
depends on what it is.
Yeah.
If it's something mm-hmm. like, I'll just watch 30, 40 minutes of that so I can come on this show and make fun of it.
Right.
I don't feel like I'm doing anything wrong. I feel like I'm just like, okay, fine.
Right.
If I go watch the whole thing, mm-hmm. here's my, and again, maybe this is bullshit. Maybe, Chris, I should take the hardline stance that you take. So right. if I go watch the whole movie, here's the difference in my opinion. Mm-hmm. First of all, if I'm staying there for 4 hours, I'll buy concessions. So the theater is getting money.
They're making money.
I know the theater gets the concessions. The studio gets like 99% of the ticket price.
And if you're buying concessions, you've spent like about $100.
I just spent $100 on a popcorn and a shot,
right.
Chardonnay. Couldn't afford the salad.
Yes.
Had to make some tough choices. I think putting it on a torrent site is the equivalent of, now, because here's the thing. It's showing in the theater. There's movies playing right now. Whether there's anyone in there or not.
Right.
Because they have them scheduled, whatever. The schedule 2, 3, 5, whatever. So to me, torrenting is like I sneak into that theater and then I prop open the door, the exit door in the back, and I let people come in off the street. Mm-hmm. And I'm putting it out there for anybody to take it.
Right.
So I don't feel as bad about a movie that is screening no matter what mm-hmm. versus digitally taking it and digitally taking the work.
Right.
And owning it, because here's the thing about torrenting. You own it on your computer.
Right.
I don't own that movie that
and
I
sneaked. And it's simple. You didn't go to the movie theater or anything. It's like you're doing it at home.
And I didn't spend any money to do it.
Right.
Other than an internet connection.
Right.
Versus I went to a theater. I'm buying mm-hmm. concessions. You know, I bought one ticket. Now, you could say, Graham, that's bullshit and you're a hypocrite. But
you know
I don't own the movie after I leave the theater.
On a scale of 1 to 10 of hypocrite, it's a lower score, I would say, because it's you make some valid points as well. It's like, is it a 10, which is torrenting? Like what you're doing is like a 2 or 3, you know.
And maybe it's something I've been doing since high school and college when I was a cheap hustler.
So
I did a lot of things that I don't do anymore. Like that, I'm so, like I look back
so
and I'm embarrassed.
So there's a nostalgia factor.
There is a like.
This is what I used to do as a kid. This is cool.
Now, my dad, who's a very honest guy, would say he would call those mini film festivals, but he would go buy a ticket for each one because he didn't feel like it was honest.
Aw, Dad.
I was a little street hustler who was always running scams. So to me, it was like, haha, I'm cheating the system.
Right.
Yeah. So there's some Herbie movies that didn't make their money because of you.
the percentage of people that go to two movies in a row is so minuscule.
Right.
And even the percentage of people that go to movies alone, like we're not a big group.
No.
You know?
When I go, like I have kids, so the time that I go to see movies is Friday at 11 a.m. when you're in school, and it's me. Bloggers and old people in the movie theater, and that's it.
And comedians. Mm-hmm. Like,
yes.
We have a ridiculous job, and we can watch two movies during the day. I think because of that, like the one movie theater economy, right? Like those two movies have two different economies, so you're not really contributing to one, but you're contributing to like the full cause. But if you torrent Get Out and then buy The Great Wall, you know, like there's no reciprocity there. I think it's very different.
Yeah.
And I am solidly on your side. For once.
It was a good discussion.
For once in my life.
That's interesting. So, Jake, thanks for bringing that up. And thank you for bringing that up the way that you did.
Yes.
Mm. And, you know, maybe I'll change my tune.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a question. Can I ask Jake a question?
Sure.
Okay. I want to know what he thinks about paying for a movie, but then bringing in your own food, right?
Oh, I do that.
Support
a lot,
the film. But not the theater, because I think that's worse, honestly.
Here's why I do it, why I sneak in my own food sometimes. I'm super healthy.
Yeah.
So I'm bringing in gluten-free bread with veggie meat and soy cheese and, an organic apple.
I will say this.
It's the worst.
If you're doing that, bring in quiet food and eat it quickly. I was watching The Expendables. A guy brought in a bacon salad and ate it next to me. And it took him over an hour to eat it. I don't understand what was taking so long. Like, he would just play with the fork and then take a bite, swirl the salad around. How? And it was like, how? An hour for a bacon salad.
But how? Is the salad is louder than popcorn?
If you eat it the wrong, yeah. Oh, popcorn's the worst.
For whatever reason, it was a loud. He made it louder. Like this isn't like the normal decibel level for a salad.
He wanted you to know that he could.
Yeah.
So all right. So what you're saying? If you sneak in a quiet salad.
Yeah, sneak in a quiet salad.
Like seaweed salad. Something.
I was hearing I was hearing guns and bullets the entire time, and I still heard him munching and mixing his bacon salad the entire time.
When I worked at a movie theater, there was a burrito shop across the street, and people would bring in their own burrito, which is fine in theory, but the amount of beans and rice I cleaned up off the floor, and they didn't contribute to the theater's concessions. Like, that is so much worse to me than if someone stayed for two movies.
Right.
Right.
Because you're not only not giving to the economy of that theater, you're taking from my time, you know?
Right.
Like, I'm not technically, I'm being paid to pick up popcorn, not your beans and rice.
Right.
Or your bacon salad.
Yes,
yeah.
And then this guy leaned over and asked me, he's like, this is Expendables 2. Am I going to be lost because I didn't see the first one?
Oh,
and I told him, yes.
Yeah, you should leave.
You should just get out now.
Pack up your bacon salad.
So.
It's a healthy option, right? Bacon salad.
I love that.
It's like the
giant, you know, cheeseburger fries with the Diet Coke.
Yes.
Like, you're just either eat bacon or eat a salad.
Yeah. Pick a team.
Pick a team. Yeah. Pick one.
So
premiering this week, we have Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales. They will keep continuing to make these movies. I wonder if this will be just as incoherent as the last couple installments. This is another one like the Transformers franchise where they just keep making them. I've lost count of how many there were.
Javier
Bardem.
The Disneyland ride is like 16 hours long, so it makes sense.
Yeah,
and Johnny Depp, for a promotional thing, he actually went in costume onto the ride
was
like, you know, startling people inside the ride. And then there's like YouTube footage of like somebody yelling, are you real? Are you real?
I've been waiting for that my whole life because I always take a second look at that Johnny Depp that pops out of the wheelbarrow.
Right.
Or not the wheelbarrow.
The barrel.
Why did I say wheelbarrow?
Yeah,
I don't know.
But it was an interesting promotional trick. So I thought it made the news. It worked.
Oh, so jealous.
The next movie, Baywatch. I find it fascinating that they decided to make this movie R, because when you look at the movie and the demographic of the people who watch the series, I'm like, R, really? R? This is. I think my prediction is it will do as well as the Chips remake.
And a lot of the promotions, at least on TV, are during RuPaul's Drag Race and have drag queens in them. And I'm like, do they think the demographic is gay men to watch this movie?
Because
of all the abs? Like, I don't know, but I'm going to go.
It's a great question.
Maybe they went, let's do this.
It's just all over the place, the marketing. It's really strange.
Yeah, which never is a good sign
right.
for a film. And the next one is Drone. We saw the trailer for this a little while ago. This is an interesting story, but we saw the entire thing in the trailer.
I know.
I don't know about this film. But that's it. Those are the movies.
All right, those are the movies, guys. So if I sneak into Baywatch and bring my own vegan food, am I a dick?
You know, if you say,
yes.
I might suspend my role for that and say, oh, no, it's all right.
I think what you've advocated in the past has been buy a ticket for the indie and then sneak into the blockbuster.
I do not have, I don't have an ounce of problem with it all. Like, I don't,
right.
I'm like paying for one movie, seeing a movie, and then sneaking into a second, I can see the the dilemma of that and the hypocrisy of what I'm doing. But what you're saying, yeah, I still very highly support that. Like, and Pay for the indie film and then go see Baywatch.
And spend money at the indie theater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's
keep
for sure.
Them, when keep
I,
them alive.
When I go to the indie theater, I always, but also too.
And don't look at the seats or the floor.
But also the indie theaters will, most of them will have some help. They'll have like an Odwalla juice or something healthy that the multiplexes don't have. I wish the multiplexes.
It's a different menu.
It is. Just a little bit healthier. Just a little.
So that is our show. We want to, of course, thank our Patreon supporters and jump on. We're at 900. We're almost at that 1,000
Come
mark.
On, do it.
Please help get us there. Like I said, it doesn't have to be a high contribution. $1 or $2 definitely helps. $5 starts getting you some cool stuff. 10 is where you pretty much get
the bonus episodes.
Yeah, the bonus episodes. And then 50 is the ad read.
If we get to that 1,000, we can give you more bonus episodes.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/comedyfilmnerds Amy Miller, where can people find you on the World Wide Web and at a local comedy theater or salad Chardonnay house?
Don't come find me at the movie theater, please. That's my time. Find me on Twitter, just at Amy Miller. My Instagram's Amy Miller Comedy. And then next Monday, May 29th, which is Memorial Day, so you don't have to work, I hope. I'll be at the Hollywood Improv for my show, Two Doors Down, which is a reference to a Dolly Parton song, not the band Three Doors Down. And you can find us on Instagram at Two Doors Down Show.
What is that show specifically like? Is
My friend Lydia Popovich and I host it. It's just a stand-up showcase. There's no theme. Well, the only theme is that we play a lot of Dolly Parton songs.
Well, that's awesome. I'm down with that.
That's a theme.
But otherwise, it's just like a straight stand-up showcase, which is getting more and more rare in Los Angeles.
I know.
I'm like, you just have to tell jokes. You don't have to do any tricks. And yeah, people are like, thank God.
I have to read a passage from a book. Or...
Yeah, long sets from really good comics, great lineups, and we host. That's it.
Awesome.
All right.
Monday, awesome. May 29th at the Hollywood Improv.
Fantastic. Guys, I've got some shows in and around Southern California coming up. If you go to grahamelwood.com, you can also support the Patreon for my show, The Political Vigilante, which is like I do two videos a day on my progressive rants against the corporate state. So it's a little different than this show.
Has it helped yet? Are we still on a corporate state, or do you have a little more work to do?
No, I got it wrapped up. I fixed it. Yeah. That $100 billion deal with the Saudi for the arms that Trump did, just like Obama did for $115 billion, that's the last of them. They're never going to be done. They're done.
God.
Thank you, Graham.
Thank
You're
you.
Welcome, guys. Yeah. Everyone's driving
awesome.
Electric
nice
cars
work.
In the Middle East now. It's all good. and of course, guys, watch the show. We're cutting it up on the YouTubes. So go to the YouTube page and support it. Frank Pulaski is doing the editing. So every week we're releasing anywhere from like 6 to 10 clips.
Yes.
If you and just hit the like and subscribe, that helps on the YouTube page. So thank you to Aaron Brungardt, our producer, and all the good fine people at All Things Comedy.
Yep. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
That's our show. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.
Support Goldie Hawn.